This is State of Water.
This is State of
this
Water.
This is State of Water.
This is State of Water.
State of Water coming at you right now.
State of Water, a podcast focusing on clean water issues and their relationship to policy, equity, community, and climate.
Featuring captivating interviews with Michiganders from many walks of life, State of Water is the official podcast of the Clean Water Campaign for Michigan, a program of the nonprofit organization Title Track.
Hey, this is Jenny from Title Track. If you resonate with what you're about to hear, put those feelings into action. Take the first step toward getting involved by going to titletrackmichigan.org/contact to sign up for our mailing list.
Welcome back, friends. Thanks for lending your ears.
Today, we're really happy to have Tom Grotewall of Protect the Porkies joining us on State of Water. Protect the Porkies is a grassroots organizing group working against the development of the Copperwood Mine in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. This proposed metallic sulfide mine would be the closest to Lake Superior in history, as well as bordering the North Country Trail and Porcupine Mountain State Park, which is not only the largest state park in Michigan, it's the largest designated wilderness area in mainland Michigan, with more than 40,000 acres of designated wilderness, including 35,000 acres of old-growth forest. It was recently ranked as the most beautiful state park in the country. The state of Michigan's Michigan Strategic Fund is currently considering a $50 million grant to the proposed Copperwood metallic sulfide mine. This move would be an incredibly irresponsible use of tax dollar money and most likely open the door to additional investment and funding that would help the foreign energy company get the necessary resources to start development. Tom goes in depth throughout the episode and how we got here, what's at stake, and all of the current calls to action that we're encouraging folks to take. But this issue is time sensitive, so we're going to name a few of them here at the top as well. First, visit protecttheporkies.com to learn more and to sign the change.org petition opposing Copperwood Mine. Second, this is important and time sensitive. The Michigan Strategic Fund is holding a public comment session on March 26th at 10 a.m. in Lansing. The best way to ensure that your voice is heard is to offer a spoken comment at this board meeting. During the public comment period, members of the public who are present in person at the meeting in Lansing will be called on first, then pre-registered virtual commenters will be called on next. You can get all the info about attending, pre-registering a virtual comment, or submitting a comment of opposition via email at the link that we'll share in the show notes. Protect the Porkies are also hosting a virtual town hall this coming Saturday, March 23rd at 11 a.m. where you can get more campaign updates. Again, we'll share that link in the show notes. All right, before we get into this great conversation between Tom and State of Water host Seth Bernard, we want to make sure to give a shout out to Maple Moon, a musical project that Tom contributes instrumentation and production to. You can hear Maple Moon's song La Nana de la Loba here in the intro as well as at the end of the episode. The title translates from the Spanish title to The Wolf's Lullaby. And the lyrics describe a mother wolf's advice to her daughter regarding how to make it in a rapidly changing world. Check out Maple Moon on Spotify and Instagram. Okay, without further ado, here's Tom Grotewall of Protect the Porkies in conversation with Seth Bernard.
Well, Tom, thanks so much for taking time on short notice to join us on the podcast today. Really appreciate the work that you're up to. And I think it'd be great for you to just give our listeners a little bit of background about Protect the Porkies and the petition that you created.
Sure. Well, thanks a lot for having us on. The real battle here has just been to spread the word and make sure that folks know this is actually happening, because we're dealing with a project in a very remote location, which is very sparsely populated. So it's important that we get the critical mass of people interested. And I think once people know what's happening, they definitely will be interested. So Protect the Porkies started in June of last year, protecttheporkies.com, and we launched an accompanying petition. And it's related to the proposed Copperwood Metallic Sulfide Mine, which is a Canadian company's plan to develop a copper sulfide mine, which would be the closest metallic sulfide mine to Lake Superior in history. And before June of last year, I had no idea what metallic sulfide mining was or that there were even different kinds of mining. And so basically, the Upper Peninsula where I live is historic copper mining country, but the copper mines of the past were as high as 99% pure copper. And there was a copper trade going back thousands of years among the Native Americans that was mining this pure copper. The copper of today at Copperwood Mine is 1.5% of the ore grade, which means that the remaining 98.5% is going to be toxic waste, which has heavy metals and a number of contaminants, many of which are on the World Health Organization's top 10 list of environmental chemicals of environmental concern for humans. And so the reason these have to be contained is because they are toxic. So there would be over 30 million tons of toxic mine waste stored in what's called a tailings facility. And this would be erected in the Lake Superior watershed, less than 2 miles away. So the topography actually slopes towards the lake. These facilities are not at all invincible. There's been a number of high-profile ruptures in both developing and developed countries following all of the environmental regulations designed by folks at the top of the field. So that's one side of why this is an issue, is because there's the risk for environmental contamination, not just from the tailings dam rupture, but also from copper sulfide mining in general. There are many ways in which it can contaminate. And in fact, a peer-reviewed study in 2012 found that every single reviewed copper sulfide mine contaminated in one form or another. So then the other aspect of this is the potential damages to outdoor recreation. The Copperwood Mine would be literally right next door to Porcupine Mountain State Park. So they share a border and they're so close that the mine in its later stages would actually mine underneath state park property. This is because the state park doesn't own its own mineral rights. And so you can go in from underground and scoop up what's there. But as far as how that potentially would affect people's experience, you know, many of the influences of mining are not going to stop politely at the private property borders. So there could be significant noise pollution from heavy traffic, from rock grinding, from subterranean blasting, light pollution. You know, this is an area where there is no source of artificial lighting within a 5 mile radius. And so people go there, they go to the Presque Isle campground, and they have an incredible view of the stars and the northern lights. This is a northwest facing beach, so you get a great view of the northern lights. You introduce just a little bit of light pollution, and that can have a pretty big impact. It would also be right next door to the North Country Trail, which is the longest of all national hiking trails. It's the North Woods' answer to the Appalachian Trail and the Pacific Crest Trail out west. So it's an incredible cornerstone of North Woods natural heritage. And if you look at the map, you can see that it's literally a stone's throw from that toxic waste facility I was talking about to the North Country Trail. So even this summer from the North Country Trail, we could see heavy machinery. We could see the clear cutting. We could see where they are rerouting streams in order to make way for this waste containment facility. So we started the petition just to let folks know that something is happening. The thing is, because Copperwood has been in discussions for 15 years and it's been passed from one company to another and it has failed to materialize, people sort of got fired up about it when it first was proposed, and then it went into the background for a while. But then this summer, they actually received $30 million from a Canadian partner company, and they rerouted streams, and they clear cut, you know, up almost 100 acres with plans to clear cut 300 more acres. So we are just trying to spread the word that this is the wheels are in motion, and if people don't speak up fast, then there's the very real risk that this could actually happen. And everything has escalated now with the grant proposal, which is on the desk of the Michigan Strategic Fund as we speak. They are considering whether to award $50 million, which comes from Michigan taxpayers, to this foreign extractive enterprise, which would potentially greatly disrupt both the environment and the outdoor recreation area. So that's our main goal here, is just, you know, protectthepokies.com. It's just a website. We like to think of ourselves as the messenger, much like the work that you are doing with this podcast. So once people get the message, then the ball is in their court to do something about it. So we're inviting folks to even attend that Michigan Strategic Fund board meeting on March 26th. It's virtual, so you don't have to get off the couch. You can do a bit of research, show up, and you can make a public comment of up to 3 minutes expressing why you think this might not be a good use of taxpayer revenue.
Fantastic. Thank you, Tom, so much for the work that you're doing, the organizing. It's a shame, you know, that we have to keep rising up in this way to protect our sacred waters and lands, but it is what is before us in these times. And it's people like you and your colleagues, you know, doing this work that really gives us hope and also direction and purpose, because while there is momentum to this project, there's still the very real force of people power that, you know, we've seen situations like this in the past, and it's not always a done deal, especially when a lot of people rise up and act strategically. So you have this petition, and then also a lot of great information at protecttheporkies.com. You know, a little bit of background about me as we're just meeting here, you know, 20 years ago was the Kennecott mine north of Marquette. And this is also a metallic sulfide mine. And it was, for a while, it was kind of like the central focus of the environmental community statewide. And it was tragic that we weren't able to stop it, although all signs pointed toward it being a terrible, terrible idea. So we can't let that happen again. This form of mining is kind of intrinsically toxic. You know, I mean, I have mining in my family history from my uncle to my grandfather in the Upper Peninsula. Some people think of mining as a part of our heritage, but sulfide mining is not. And it is such a messy enterprise that even when people do it with exacting measures, there are almost always terrible, terrible consequences. If you look at the community of Sudbury, Ontario, that's kind of a case study on what sulfide mining can do to the landscape. It's just horrific. It looks terrible. It's depressing. It does terrible things to water quality, soil quality, light pollution. And as you mentioned, the Porkies are pristine. This is like home to the majority of Michigan's old growth, the majority of Michigan's waterfalls. People come from all over the world. And yet it's very sparsely populated and very remote. So it's important for us to spread the word and to get people organized and mobilized. Can you talk a little bit more? You know, the 20 years ago, the fight around the Kennecott mine was also with an entity, a mining entity that had a bad track record. This is Highland Copper, which, is it true that they have no track record?
Right. That's part of what makes this a bit fishy is, you know, they have no history whatsoever. They have not owned or operated a single mine. And yet we are expected to entrust them with the closest metallic sulfide mine to Lake Superior in history. Despite not having any experience, though, they do already have some experience being fined $25,000 for degrading wetlands without a permit. So, yeah, there is not really a case to be made that, I mean, A, this is not the right project, and B, these are not the right people to be entrusting with the project.
Yeah.
So, you know, we make the case that Highland Copper is a foreign company, which there's nothing wrong with foreigners coming to set up businesses in the United States, obviously, but it's different if you're talking about a nice family from India coming to start a restaurant versus a company coming to extract the resources and then ship them out of country and sell them on the global market. So those are two very different cases. And then when you look at the track record in other countries, it becomes very difficult to hold companies accountable, especially when they are based out of country. Because especially with these boom and bust operations, when they board up shop, Copperwood is expected to last only 10.7 years. So after that, the miners are going to be back in Quebec. And if there's environmental fallout 10 or 20 years down the line, it can be very difficult to hold accountable these companies. And when they are accosted, there's a pretty common playbook where they can just declare bankruptcy and get off the hook. You were mentioning that the fight against the Kennecott mine in Marquette County and how that wasn't able to be successful. But I think in these fights, we have to look at it in, not in terms of failure or success, because these are really David and Goliath type battles. So yeah, the real failure would be not to speak up, to not do anything at all. If we don't come together, if we don't fight and we don't make our voices heard, we'll never know what might have happened. And you mentioned that a lot of people in the Upper Peninsula see mining as their heritage. I would like to, for folks to think also that the spectacular nature up here is our heritage. And that's why more and more people are moving every single year to the Upper Peninsula from all over the country and all over the world. I mean, I've met people from many different states who have relocated to the Upper Peninsula just in the last few years, specifically because the UP has what most of the Midwest has lost. And so that's our real heritage, and that's what we should be fighting to protect. Absolutely. And then the only other point that I wanted to make is that, yeah, Copperwood is definitely picking up momentum, but the company, Highland Copper, they still have only 10% of the startup capital that they need to start this mine. And so, you know, they've projected around $400 million is what they need, and they've got a little over $30 million in the bank. And that's why this proposed grant by the Michigan Strategic Fund is such a big deal, because $50 million is larger than the size of the company. So it would be a huge financial boost, but not only that, they would wave this around as an official state endorsement and use it as leverage to bring in lots of fresh capital from other investors to be used for bank loans and more grants. And so that's why it's important that we fight as hard as we can against this grant. And fortunately, they have provided a public comment process. These are, you know, proud Michiganders who want to hear from people. So they really would love for folks listening to this podcast to speak up. And a few of the board members have already expressed doubts about the mine project as well. They've been published. There was a Detroit News article where three of them were quoted expressing doubts about, you know, A, this is a large grant considering the size of the company. B, this is a boom and bust operation. So does it make sense to be funding a project that's only going to last for 11 years? And then C, you know, if Copperwood is as profitable as they claim, why don't they have funding after 15 years? Where are all the investors? So if the private investors haven't come in to fund it, then why should the taxpayers of Michigan?
Yes, exactly. Well, that's great information. And that puts even more pressure on this public comment session on March 26th. Very consequential. And I love what you said, too, about, you know, it's not a loss when we don't get the desired outcome, because anytime people come together to stand up for what's right, it's out of an ethical obligation, and there's community building that happens. So through the Kennecott mine battle, I mean, people from all over the state and all over the country came together, and some of those same people have been working on Line 5, have been standing up against water privatization, have been protecting watersheds. And I've learned from my elders too, that there's this practice that we have to make of full devotion without an attachment to a specific outcome. That's something that I've learned as an activist from my mentors.
And yeah, there's a phrase for that, karma yoga. I don't know if you're familiar with that concept, but But the idea that you work without thinking about the results, you just work for the joy of working. And I think that applies really well to activism.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you stay in this practice through your life. And it's important for us to recognize that, you know, this is very, very important. And we have our work cut out for us here, but this is a lifelong project for us as human beings. And so whenever we're working on a campaign, like you said, I'm glad that you mentioned, like, I don't think of it as a win or a loss. Obviously, with the Kennecott decision, we didn't get the ideal decision. But do I regret the years that I put into that? Absolutely not. Would I turn back and, you know, let go of the relationships that were formed and the alliances that were formed, the money that went into the Yellow Dog Watershed Preserve? And the other thing that does happen, too, is even if a project goes through, if it goes through under tremendous pressure, those people have eyes on them for the entire time that they're doing the operation. And so it changes the nature. And but with this one, so we've got a lot of information here. One thing that I have a question about, Tom, is what is the Michigan Strategic Fund? I'm not familiar with this entity.
Yeah, so this is where it gets somewhat ironic. The Michigan Strategic Fund is an entity within the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, known as the MEDC. So that Michigan Economic Development Corporation, those are the folks who are responsible for the Pure Michigan campaign, which I'm sure you've seen that every time you look at a license plate, and it's all over the place. If you go to Michigan.org, you will see it's all of these beautiful images of Michigan's outdoor recreation opportunities, and it's trying to paint as pristine as a picture as possible of the state, and there are loads of incredible, beautiful natural areas. So, and it's actually the MEDC which is presenting the grant to the Michigan Strategic Fund. So we have the same organization who has branded Pure Michigan proposing to fund $50 million to the Copperwood Mine right next door to the largest and most beloved state park in Michigan, and right next door to the largest freshwater sea on Earth. It seems a little bit hypocritical, to put it lightly.
Absolutely. So people who are listening are ready to take action. How can you direct us toward strategic action and timely action and as many different types of action as possible?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would encourage people to be creative, and maybe you'll come up with an idea that I'm not going to mention right now, and that would be great. Like I said, Protect the Porkies is just a website, so we encourage decentralized action. People don't need to come to us for permission to do things. They should feel free to spread word as far and wide as urgently as possible in whatever way works for them. So some ways that we are suggesting, firstly, would be to go to the website, protecttheporkies.com, and to go to the petition, change.org/protecttheporkies. And in addition to signing and sharing the petition, you can educate yourself about the project. So that way, if you follow the next step and make a comment at the Michigan Strategic Fund board meeting, you'll have an idea of what you're talking about. You can also submit an email to the Michigan Strategic Fund. That's msfcomments@michigan.org. So you'll want to do that prior to the 26th. Even better would be prior to the 24th, probably, to give them a couple days to process that. We would also ask that you get in contact with Governor Whitmer. So the board members of the Michigan Strategic Fund were appointed by the governor. So if she gets hundreds of messages streaming in telling her that this is a terrible idea, that would allow her to influence that conversation. Some of these board members, for example, are the director of the Department of Labor, the chair of the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, the state treasurer. So these are some pretty big names in Michigan. They're in communication with the governor. If we can reach out to her, that could have an effect as well. Another great step, in just the last week, we've had three letters to the editor published in newspapers in Houghton, Ontonagon, and Traverse City. Gogeba County, where the mine would be based, they don't want to touch any coverage whatsoever of our campaign for some reason, even though our petition now nearly has more signatures than the entire population of the county. They still don't even want to acknowledge that we exist. So we really depend on people providing our own coverage, writing those letters to the editor. Oftentimes, they're only looking for 200 words. That's only a couple paragraphs. So if people can reach out to their local newspapers, once you submit a letter, that can be published within just a few days, and that could be a great way to get the word out, especially if you mention the upcoming board meeting on the 26th. And yeah, really just exercise your own creativity. We have flyers that are available on the website. If you go to the top and click flyers, there's a number of potential literature candidates that you can use, or you can come up with your own flyer. We would love that. If you come up with your own literature and then send it in to us so that we can share it with others, that's really what we want, is for as many people to get involved and to stand up for Lake Superior, Porcupine Mountains, the North Country Trail. These are tremendous collective resources, and their fate shouldn't belong to a single mining enterprise in Gogeba County or a handful of local town halls that might have voted in support of it. I mean, we're really talking about something that concerns not even just Michigan residents, but people from other states, from other countries. People come to the Porkies from all over the world, especially during fall color season. They don't want to be, you know, walking next to the Presque Isle River and be hearing rock grinding. They don't want to be slogging through heavy mining traffic. They don't want to be watching their kids swim in Lake Superior and worry that there might be contamination. So this is an issue that I really feel has the potential to unite people for many different areas. And, you know, we often worry about keeping our battles within county lines or state lines. But if you look to the people who have been here the longest, the Anishinaabe, they don't care about state lines because they were here long before those ever existed. What they care about is protecting the resources which were guaranteed to them by the treaties. So this should unite people from all political parties as well, because traditionally environmental movements sure tend to be more left-leaning. But we're talking about an incredible outdoor area where hikers, hunters, fishers, people all depend on having a clean environment here to feel healthy. We're also talking about a massive government handout to a foreign corporation which has failed to get private investment. So I feel like that's something that conservative people really should not be on board with. It's basically a government handout to a failing foreign company. I think there's so many points of opposition to this project. It should be a no-brainer. And if it weren't for the fact that it's in such a sparsely populated area, like if this were, you know, right next door to Traverse City or something, we would have millions of people up in arms. So that's why spreading the word is the main game right now, spreading the word and taking action.
Very good. Yeah. So we have a couple weeks to do this, and protecttheporkies.com gives people lots of information. Should be just hearing you right now gives people the talking points that they need to be able to do a public comment, but there's a lot more information. And there's a long form YouTube video of a presentation that gives more in-depth information. Tom, I'm curious if we could just hear a little bit more background from you about your path, what led you into this work, and how did you, I'd love to hear about your background in terms of your life and how you come to value this sort of work, but then also how you felt called into doing this just, you know, a few months ago, last June.
Yeah. Well, I'm a great example of somebody who moved to the Upper Peninsula from out of state because I grew up in Kansas City, Kansas, which is, you know, there's very nice people here, but it's concrete and cornfield country. And I studied anthropology at school. And so then after I graduated, I wanted to travel the world a bit, and I visited lots of different countries. And mainly when I was in other countries, I felt compelled to visit the most beautiful natural areas that I could. And so it was really in traveling in other countries that I fell in love with nature. And I saw, you know, all of the incredible opportunities to connect with other life forms and to connect with myself when you take a peaceful walk or sit beside a stream. And so then when I came back to the US, I, you know, started visiting lots of state parks and national parks. And I saw that this country has some of the most incredible nature in the world. And we started the national parks system. So we've got such great natural heritage here that's worthy of protecting. But eventually there came a point when I felt like I didn't want to base my life in the middle of concrete and cornfields. And so my partner and I, we basically just started throwing darts at a map and doing some research. And we looked at maps of agricultural chemical pollution. We looked at maps of light pollution. We looked at maps of population density. We saw this area between three Great Lakes, which I had never even considered before. I don't think I'd ever even looked at the Upper Peninsula on a map and realized, A, that it wasn't part of Wisconsin, and B, that it even existed. So we had some friends in the northern regions in Wisconsin and Minnesota, and we decided to make the move. And we came to the Upper Peninsula a few years ago, even though we didn't know a single person up here. And, you know, my story is an example of how folks from out of state will come in, especially because they know what the rest of the country has lost. It's kind of like that saying, you don't know your water until your well has run dry. A lot of times people who grow up in these beautiful areas, they might not even realize how beautiful that area is. Whereas people like me who were deprived of nature, we can appreciate it in a way that maybe comes easily to city people because we know what's missing. Mm-hmm. And so that's really how I got involved. And then you know, one of the cases that the Highland Copper is making about why the Michigan Strategic Fund should give money to Copperwood is that the Western Upper Peninsula is this blighted area with bad economics and falling population. And that's where I live, is in this this blighted area, which is incredibly beautiful. So I don't think that's the right word. But if they're looking for economic revitalization, we know for a fact, there's been so much research done, that mining is not the way to do it. People think that setting up a mine is going to make this area wealthy, but mining is the reason this area is poor in the first place. So if you go to Wikipedia and you type in resource curse, this is a well-documented phenomenon where areas with the highest amount of natural resources also happen to be the most impoverished because they are prone to these boom and bust operations, which do not create a sustainable economy. Meanwhile, you've got outdoor recreation, which brought in over $12 billion to Michigan last year. Mining brought in less than $1 billion. So we see that outdoor recreation is huge. We see that people from out of state, such as myself, are moving into the Upper Peninsula. And we're getting priced out of areas like Marquette because, you know, everybody wants to live in Marquette these days. You can't even find a place to rent. And so folks are moving towards areas, these so-called blighted communities, with cheaper real estate, which are equally beautiful. And, you know, sometimes more beautiful because there's a lot less development. And development is another word that I hate because nature is incredibly developed. So when we chop it down and we set up a mine or a Walmart or something, that's not necessarily development if you're looking from the perspective of a tree or a woodpecker or somebody who likes to enjoy those areas. So one path to economic revitalization would be to expand and protect outdoor recreation, to keep these areas clean so that people from out of state will come in, they'll bring fresh capital, they will contribute meaningfully to the economy, some of them will set up businesses, and all of that is going to last a lot longer than the 10.7 years projected by the mine.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, the resource curse, and that's something that we see just with this, I mean, the model of extractive economic short-term, you know, financial gain perspectives trumping all, it's destroyed our communities. And I think, you know, you talked before about how this is compelling for people on all sides of the political, you know, spectrum to oppose. I mean, I agree with you. I don't see any viable argument that this is a smart move and that this is a wise use of our $50 million in taxpayer revenue. And I think that one of the things that I love about the Upper Peninsula, having a lot of family and friends there across the spectrum, is kind of this, people value localism. So keeping our money in our communities, finding work that supports our communities. And this is sort of the opposite of that. This is taking all of our money, some of our most pristine land, like you said, it's right next to Lake Superior, the North Country Trail, and just giving it away and allowing it to be exploited for 10 years for the majority of the money and the resources to leave our communities. And we've done this before, you know, I mean, we've done it all across the UP. It doesn't work. It's a nightmare.
And yeah.
So we've got a couple weeks now to spread the word. Thank you for everything that you're doing. You know, consider Title Track a partner in this work and the Clean Water Campaign a partner. We'll do what we can to help spread the word. We'll be there on March 26th to make public comments, and we'll do what we can to mobilize folks.
Well, Seth, thanks so much for having me on and helping us spread the word. That's really the most tremendous service right now, is just to get the word out there. I think there really is an effort to keep this under wraps. This summer, we had multiple reports of people who would visit the proposed mine site on their bike or in car and ask, hey, is this where Copperwood is? And they were told, there's no mine here. There's nothing to see here. So they were sent away. And that's really what Highland Copper is hoping will happen, is that everything will happen while nobody's watching. And by the time it's up and running, it will be too late. And so that's what we want to fight against, make this happen before it's too late and speak up. You know, this is a great opportunity to practice democracy. People often think that democracy is voting once every 4 years or every 2 years and then kind of tuning out for the rest of the time. But this is an opportunity to speak up to some of the biggest names in Michigan and to actually make a difference. So let's make it happen.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tom. And I'll share a short story. And this is from a couple interviews ago on the State of Water podcast. I interviewed Hans Voss, who's the executive director of the Groundwork Center for Resilient Communities, used to be the Michigan Land Use Institute. And he told about the origin story of the organization back in 1994, there were some pretty formidable oil and gas powers that wanted to do, they wanted to lease public land on the shores of the Au Sable and the Jordan River. And they kind of thought that they could just push this through, you know, and collude with elected officials to make it all happen. But a small group of citizens got together and it grew. It became a movement, and they brought in anglers of the Au Sable, friends of the Jordan River, built a broad coalition, hunters, anglers, environmentalists, business leaders, journalists, and ultimately won and worked with the state legislature to pass provisions to protect these rivers in perpetuity from oil and gas leasing. And a couple years later, my friend Hans ran into the owner of the gas company, and the guy said, hey, that was a real David and Goliath battle. You guys were Goliath.
Mm.
So that's the other side of this coin, is that sometimes we don't know our power, but when we come together, you know, some of what you're describing is already that the Copperwood mine is nervous, and these people know that people are mobilizing and organizing. They know that the word is spreading. They're trying to keep it contained, but they can't. And so the more we work, the more we organize, the more we believe in ourselves, the more we actually can become the greater power. And it's a power that comes from people who have no financial interest in this. You have nothing to gain. You're not getting paid for your work. It's coming out of the goodness in your heart and thousands of other people. It's because we care about this place where we're from. We care about the next generations and the current generations having pure water, clean water to drink, soil for living things to grow in. And so in that sense, like there's a certain momentum that comes from people looking around, you know, believing in ourselves, believing in each other, seeing our numbers growing, and actually having the confidence to say, not only can we do this, we are going to do this. This is what we're up to here. So thank you for believing and putting so much time and so much work into this. Again, check out protecttheporkies.com, tremendous resource. And I love that this is decentralized and that it's non-hierarchical. So it's like people can use our imagination and creativity. Everyone's discernment is valued and welcome in this movement. And so, you know, onward we will go. Thanks again, Tom. Appreciate you.
Yeah. I'll see everybody on March 26th.
Okay, great. We'll see you then. Take care.
Thank you.
No llegarán con sus dientes de acero para así la selva disturbar. Y no temas, criatura, las lenguas de fuego no te encontrarán siempre que salgas corriendo. Estamos hechos del mismo material, y aunque el hombre no lo sepa, el mismo destino nos esperará.